You start off with the three.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, oh, here, here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Oh, no, no. Offer, offer. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu, sadhu. Give it off for the gallon. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can start the puja. Okay, compose your mind. Eh? Develop the sadha, virya. Then we will start the puja chanting. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，南无普贤菩萨，南无普贤菩萨，南无普贤菩萨，南无弥勒佛菩萨，南无弥勒佛菩萨，南无弥勒佛菩萨，南无佛菩萨，南无佛菩萨，南无佛菩萨，阿拉哈萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦布当巴嘎万当阿比瓦迪米。Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Sanghang Namami.Now we can turn to page 4. Oh, the Puja chanting book. We will chant the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa.Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Buddhaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi Dhammaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi Sanghaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ Saraṇaṃ GacchāmiDutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang GacchamiPānāti pātā vairamani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmi Ādīnā dānā vairamani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmi Kāmesu micchācārā vairamani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmiMusāvādā vairamani sikkhāpadāṁ samādhiyāmi Sūrāmērāya pāmādhattanā vairamani sikkhāpadāṁ samādhiyāmi We will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sārapaditena ditPena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana muttamangVanna Ganda Guno Petang Etang Kusuma Santatin Pujayami Munindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kusumena Nena Punnena Matena Cha Hotu Mokhang ปูปังมิลายะติยะตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายะติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังโอเค we will turn to the last page, page 18. We will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the various significance of all the offerings. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple J. Ah, in VAC, sadhu. Go. Ah, you can make the offering. Go, go and prepare. Then we offer. We pay respect to Triple J first. Vedang Pachemi. Dhammang pacemi. Sanghang pacemi. Okay, just now I think Han and Sister Yun Chana brought some offering. So we will just make the offering. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This is one more. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we wait for the flower. Somebody help Envy. Yeah. Oh, okay. She is ready. Come. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, put it here. Yeah. Ah, never mind. I'll help you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You want to put anywhere? Up to you. Or Maitreya, tie around Maitreya. Or too long. Because the rest all they put ready except Maitreya. Roll it. Can. The wooden one is the real one. That was the original one. I just roll over it. Never mind. Roll over it. Roll over it. Can. Sadu. Just put on top. Can. Sadu. Okay. Very good. So now we can go to the second session. After puja, we will have about half an hour of meditation. Yun Chan, you leave that to my wife because that day you off a few of the switches wrongly. It all go black. Thank you so much. Sadhu. Okay. So for those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away do your meditation. For those who still need to train your mind, you just do whatever that is conducive and suitable. Whatever that can help you to relax, maintain a posture that can allow you to meditate so that your mind can be silent, peaceful and aware within. Based on the spiritual faculty that most of you all have through our puja, through our sharing and through our transcript book and all those things, your understanding should give you a lot of good condition to develop the spiritual faculty. So when the spiritual faculty are developed, your hindrance will be at bay. Technically, when you meditate, you can become peaceful very fast. You don't have to really train your mind anymore. But you still find it difficult to maintain that mindfulness or sati. Then you do the mind sweeping method, combine metta, and you will settle down very fast. Then after that, if you want to anchor it with anapanasati, it's up to you. If you find it easier to meditate by silencing your mind, stay at the heart, you can also. It's up to you. Whichever that is more suitable and conducive to you. Relaxation is key to meditation. Relax into all mind state. Allow the body and mind to just settle down. Whatever that arises, let it be. Do not fight it. Do not suppress or do not try to control or do anything. The more quiet and silent you are, the deeper your meditation will develop. So just allow the mind to be. If it's thinking, heedless, wandering off, just maintain the attentiveness. Do not develop any negativity of mind state. You can just smile at it, laugh at it, and remind yourself the untrained mind is such. It will have this tendency. But the moment the mind is trained, the spiritual faculties are there, it will fall into place. So when you allow it to be, you don't try to react to it or do something to it. Your mind will settle down very fast. Your meditation will progress very fast. So with this understanding, you just relax body and mind, completely silent everything, and just let things be. By now, I think most of you need not really train your mind anymore. You can just silent, relax, and maintain awareness. Then you need to anchor it through whatever skillful means, either anapanasati or the heart base, or any skillful means that you are familiar, then use it. Then just continue to relax into it. Relaxation is the first support. After you relax, you maintain mindfulness. Then after that, you allow it to sustain itself. That's why it's called 24 hours. Then you just trust that nature. No thought. No egoic mind. Nothing. No meditator. No controller. Nobody inside there doing meditation. Just that nature. Silent itself. Relax into it. Every mind state. Whatever thought arises, allow it to be. The characteristic is it will come to be, then it will cease to be if you don't give it any more mental energy. Yeah. Okay, with that, I will let you proceed with your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 20 minutes. Oh, sorry, 30 minutes. Today we got more time. Okay. also still want to meditate, you can continue. For those that are now slowly, mindfully come out of meditation, then we will continue with our invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven in release. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido Anutaro purisa dhammasarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato saukasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato saukasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato saukasango Samichi patipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidam chattari purisa yukani Ata purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anutarang Punyaketa Lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Bedang pujami. Tamang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay. can be seated, relax yourself, maintain some more attention, then we will continue. So today, before we continue with the Diamond Sutta, I want to one more time explain the significance of all this puja that we do, so that you can be constantly reminded of its usefulness and purpose. Puja are devotional practices that are very useful and very important, as recommended by Lord Buddha. When we develop our devotion towards the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, we will develop a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of merits, followed by a lot of understanding. Then our faith will be strengthened. Our saddha, our faith in the Buddha and his teaching, through knowing who he is and how special a being he is and how wonderful the teaching he has given to the world. So all these are very, very useful understanding. Then it is laid down in such a way, when we follow this puja as recommended by Lord Buddha, we have the pre-puja followed by the post-puja. It will help you to establish a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of important causes and conditions for you to develop all of the meritorious action, all of the blessing and all the spiritual faculty that you need to help you walk the path of Dhamma. Then it also helps you to make the requisite aspiration to avoid all evil, meet up with only the wise and the enlightened ones, so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. So all this understanding will lead you to the condition needed for you to successfully walk this path, so that you can progress along the path of Dhamma easily. And because we were taught to invoke the power of merits through nature's law for causes and conditions for all this to arise, it will be very powerful, and we do not intervene or use our thought to direct. We allow nature, through its nature's law, by the power of merits, wholesomeness and blessing and sincerity and faith, to arise the causes and conditions for our understanding to arise, for us to avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet out with the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. So these are very important understanding. Then all of the offering that we had offered to the Triple Gem, especially offering of light, clear water, incense, followed by fruits, followed by the flowers. These are all of great significance, and we have developed the understanding of them. That's why we know they are significant, and we make aspiration as per page 18 that we have done. So all this will pave the way for you all to develop the spiritual faculty. Then when we develop this faith, it will drive us to cultivate the virya, which is the second spiritual faculty. Then when we pay respect mindfully, make this offering of puja mindfully, then when we chant mindfully, we develop all the qualities of mind that we need for us to develop the sati leading to samadhi. That's why in the Mahayana teaching, they chant a lot, they recite a lot. This is their way of cultivating the spiritual faculty. They chant until their mindfulness and the mantra become one, or the chanting become one. That is sati. Then when it stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. Then when they have the spiritual faculty of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, they will insight into phenomena. They will understand things very fast. They will be able to see things as they are. Then they will develop the wisdom and the understanding. So basically, puja are very important practices. Then when we invoke the invocation to the devas, we also simultaneously explain to the devas what are the triple gem. Why do we have to make salutation and reverential respect to the triple gem? Because these are the gems, the most precious among the precious stones. They are called the gemstone. And within this triple gem, these are refuge safe. Out of the triple gem, there is no refuge. We are out of the triple gem, there is no teaching. You cannot find the Buddha Dhamma. And because of that, possibility of enlightenment is very, very slim. Yeah. But with the triple gem, the Dhamma will be there. Because the Sammasambuddha, fully enlightened, he sure has the Dhamma. And the second of the triple gem is the Dhamma, the teaching itself. Then the third one is the Sangha, enlightened disciple of the Buddhas. So they also have the teaching. And because we were told to take refuge, and when we do it with understanding, sincerity and resolve, it will arise the causes and conditions for this nature of ours, life after life, and this form and mind arise. Wherever there is condition to connect to the triple gem, it will connect. That's why this refuge taking is very, very important. Then now I will read through to you the significance of the triple gem. Just now we chant the Buddha Vandana, which is salutation to the Buddha, the nine great virtue. The English translation is, such indeed is the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Because he is the fully enlightened one. That's why he is blessed with virtue and wisdom. And he is also worthy of respect, offering, gift, and hospitality. And because he is blessed with wisdom and virtue, and he has perfected them all, you can say the Buddha, the Sammasambuddha, Sakyamuni at that time when he arrives, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being in the whole universe. To have such a being as your teacher, you must count your blessing. You must have a lot of faith in him and gratitude towards him. That's why he is such a rare being. Then he also is endowed with wisdom, knowledge and virtue. So this one allow him to have the all-knowing ability. That's why he is called knower of the world. Whatever that can be known, he can understand. So endowed with wisdom and virtue, the accomplished one, knower of the world, an incomparable master of those to be trained, means he is a guide without comparison to train living beings, including the devas, to become enlightened being. He is the best of the best. That's why he got nobody can compare to him. That's why he's the incomparable master for those to be trained to be enlightened. Then he can teach all beings. He is a teacher of man and God, fully enlightened and blessed. So this nine great virtue make him very, very unique. Then we have this salutation to the Dhamma, Dhamma Vandana. The Buddha said this Dhamma is very special. He always chant to the monk, Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo. He said, well expounded is the Dhamma by the Blessed One, which is the Sammasambuddha. Sanditiko means can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait till death. Then Akaliko is not subject to the time. It is the timeless. Then Ehi Patsiko means this Dhamma can be investigated upon. It will stand up to investigation because it is the truth. Then Opanayiko is leading onward or leading inward to the heart. Then Pachetang means can be realized by the wise each for themselves. Veditabo, vinohiti. So these are the characteristics of the Dhamma. If you meditate, then the truth that you realize, if it doesn't have any of these characteristics, then it is not the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. That's why this Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond time. That's why it's akaliko. Then it is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now before you die. Then it is also ehipaseko, means you can investigate into it because it's the truth. It will stand up to investigation. Then it has these characteristics of opanaiko, leading inward into your nature, which is within your heart area. That's why leading inward towards your heart, towards your nature. Then pacetang venditabo vinohiti can only be realized by the wise each for themselves. So this Dhamma, the moment you awaken to it, you realize it, you no need to check with a book. You no need to check with your teacher or your monk. Because that truth can be realized by the wise each for themselves. Nobody else can understand. The form and mind that awaken to it will understand automatically, straight away. No more doubt, nothing. It will have this profound understanding. Truth is just like that, so simple. The moment you understand, you will understand. Whereas the other one, which is knowledge, is different. You're not sure. You still need to check up the book, check with people, or check with your teacher and ask the monk. So all those, the moment you need to do all this, that is not the Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. So this part is very useful. Then the third triple gem, the third aspect of the triple gem is this Sangha. That's why we chant the Sangha Vandana, which is salutation to the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, the Aryan Sangha. So the Buddha says, Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. So this Sangha, they got four great qualities. The first quality is they have good conduct. The Buddha said, oh, good conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Then the second quality is of upright conduct, is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Then the third one is of wise conduct, is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Then the fourth one is of dutiful conduct, means they do their duty very well. They are very responsible, and they do not violate the nature's law. And because of that, the Buddha said, this order of the Blessed One's disciple, namely the four pair of people, or person, or enlightened beings, or the eight type of individuals, they are worthy of offerings, hospitality, gift, and reverential salutation. And when all these are performed, the merits is an incomparable field to the world. So that's the reason why the tradition of the Sangha come about. Because Sakyamuni Buddha want to introduce a very good synergy between the laities and the order of monks or community of monks. In the sense that the lay people can support the monk, and in return, the monk, through their diligence, through their cultivation, they develop the cultivation to be worthy of offering, worthy of respect. Then in return, they share with you the Dhamma. They teach you the Dhamma, the teaching, so that you can benefit tremendously from this teaching. So this synergy are very useful. So once a while I will refresh you all, and since it's recorded, it's very useful. So do not underestimate all this puja. That's why your daily religious routine, every morning you should try to do it when you wake up and before you sleep, if you have time, try to do it. Then in between, whenever you are free, especially weekends, when you are not occupied with anything, you do it one more time in between. Then after this three routine, you can develop daily mindfulness to supplement whatever time in between. If you have this type of religious routine, you will progress very fast. You will awaken very fast. Yeah. Because through this development, your spiritual faculty is constantly being developed. And when you do this with understanding, you will develop heedfulness. And once you are heedful throughout the day, you are destined for enlightenment. That's why heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So if you don't train your mind to develop this religious routine to be heedful, it's very difficult to progress. It's very difficult to awaken. So puja is a major part of the cultivation. Through puja, when your spiritual faculty is developed, your daily mindfulness will fall into place. Then when your daily mindfulness falls into place, you become heedful. You are destined for enlightenment. And it's not that difficult. Yeah. So this is a very important understanding. And hopefully, you all can develop the understanding. Then do it. Yeah. Okay. So with this, we finish the explanation part. Then now we go to Diamond Sutta, the Vajra Pranya Paramita Sutta. We were at what page were we? 47. Okay, before we start, maybe we go for the opening verse. The page before page 1, verses for opening a sutta. We will read together. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it. I vow to fathom the Tathagata through teaching. So this verse is very important. It serves as a constant reminder to cultivator, because when the window for this Buddha Sasana is there, it is not going to last very long, like I had explained earlier on. In fact, in many of the sharing, I have mentioned this, but now I want to make it clearer. Our Buddha Sasana, even this one, Sakyamuni, supposed to be quite long. Is supposed to last 5,000 years. But because of the admission of the Bhikkhuni order, the Buddha foresee that it will be shortened to 4,500 years. So the Sasana will be shortened by 500 years. So now we are at 2006. We left with 1,009. Assume, let's say for some who may not have established yet, but you already have the connection, then you want to make full use of this sasana to develop the cultivation, the understanding, and to progress and stabilize all this understanding. I ask you one question. How many times you can take rebirth and come back to become human being, to come into contact with the sasana? If you become deva, not too bad. But not so easy to cultivate up there, because too comfortable. You don't have this human form. You don't have this human suffering to actually motivate you and spur you, and to let you understand the urgency of developing all this understanding and cultivation. So even, let's say, you can take rebirth and come back as human being, unless your parami is very strong. Sometimes you can just land yourself with another type of religion. Or sometimes you can take birth in a place where there is no Buddha Dhamma. Unless you are like with very strong parami and roots, even you are born in the Western society, like Achaloha, can still come back to the Buddha Dhamma. So there are quite a number, but percentage-wise is very low. Then even if you are born as a Chinese, Asian, you can look around even our civilization now. You think all Chinese are Buddhists? No. There are a lot of other races. Then there are a lot of non-believers too, atheists and all those things. Then even if you are Buddhist, out of that Buddhist percentage, which is not that big, how many percent really can find the true Dhamma? That is the more important question. Use the mic. Use the mic. Thanks. Yes.
Without a form, so less hindrances, isn't it?
No. You see, the thing is, the Devarai, they are the. Are you off the thing idea? The Deva rhyme is the rhyme of what they call Sukkati. Sukkati. They are the rhyme of happiness, happy rhyme. And when you are up there to take rebirth in the Deva rhyme, you minimum also must have the five precepts. So because of that, your merits, your parami is very good, and that's relatively good. So when you're up there, you actually enjoy your parami, and that's you reap the fruition of your good merits, and that's why up there, they say it's heaven, tian tang, heavenly, right? So because there, up there, you are not like a human being, born as a baby, slowly grow up. There's spontaneous birth, pop, you become that deva already. Then initially very radiant and very fragrant. Then you don't have this physical body that can like have disease and sickness on. They don't have sickness on until before they die. When they about to die, they suddenly realize they sweat. Then when they sweat, they emit a type of foul smell. Before that, that's why devas, when they come, you can know one. There is this very fragrant one, the incense. Like when we were at Anandagiri, you remember when we did the rehearsal that night? Suddenly, just before I did the sharing of merit, those who can see, suddenly all of these people came down, pop, the higher being behind me. Then suddenly we smell this very, very strong fragrant, very, very strong. Then we knew. That's why these are the rhyme of being. But they are also cultivated up there, especially to Sita heaven. Because many bodhisattva are born there. They like to live there. Then when you are in the Deva plane, like King Saka, he like to rejoice with the wholesomeness of earthly living beings. When he see, because he has this, what they call parami. When somebody has developed a lot of wisdom and wholesomeness, he will feel it one. His seat there become very hot one. Then he will ask around. He say, why is it happening? Then they will tell him. The deva will know, that place, there are many cultivators, or that cultivator has realized that he has developed some form of very special understanding and all those things. That's why during the time of Sakyamuni Buddha, I remember there was a Jataka story, I don't know whether you all remember or not. When Mahakasapa, one of the senior disciples of Sakyamuni, he specialized in Dutanga practice. He liked to live the way of a monk in a very stringent manner. They call it Dutanga practices. means he go for austerity of practice. He wear the robe make from what they call the dead people. After you die, the white cloth, he will go and cut them out. Then he will sew them out and die. And he will wear the tiger robe. It seems he came from a very wealthy family. They gave him a very nice robe when he was about to renounce. Then on his way, he met Sakyamuni. Then Sakyamuni knew. Then Sakyamuni actually became his good friend. Then later on, when he came to know who Sakyamuni is, he took refuge. Then he offered that new robe of his in exchange for Sakyamuni's very old robe. Then later on, he went into cessation. They call it, actually, he realized Nibbana, but they call it Sahampati. Nirodha Sahampati means you enter cessation for 7 days and 7 nights. Yeah. He experienced Nibbana. Then when he came out, because when he was going through that, King Saka of then knew, sit very hot. Then they already knew. And they know this Mahakasapa don't like to walk to the wealthy people's house. He like to go to the poor village. And he don't like those wealthy people to offer to him. So King Saka and the wife disguised as very old, poor people. Then they stand by the path where he know Mahakasapa will come down after his Nirodha Sahampati after he come out. So as he walk, then he saw these two old couple. So he offered his bath for them to do the pindapat. But the moment they take the rice out, because that rice come from the heavenly rice, you know, so fragrant. So immediately Mahakasapa smell, he knew already. He straight away asked the two, who are you? Then King Saka got no choice, has to speak the truth. So King Saka appear. Then he say, because we know you never accept on this. That's how they disguised them. Then after that, I think Mahakasapa was quite understanding. He say, okay, but next time don't do it. He say, he prefer to benefit the poor. That's why different arahant got different type of character and personality. So your question, I understand, because you think without the physical body, your consciousness come out, you can cultivate easily, and there's nothing to do. No, it's sometimes the opposite. Because when you got no more problem, you think you want to go for Dhamma or not. If life is so good, nobody will go for Dhamma, where everything go your way. Let's say you are like the Deva, immediately born already, adult like that. Then, full of fragrance, full of merits, you got the mansion up there, everything. Then, no need to eat one, never get hungry one. And no need to like go through all a sickness and death one. And can move around so easily. You think you want to cultivate? When you are up there, unless you have your parami, your past inheritance, they will not cultivate. Most of them will not cultivate. But they like to move around. Because they up there also like a community. They also got their belief system. And like we all here, Buddhists will say, oh, this monk very famous. Oh, all the Buddhists will go there. Then some Buddhists will like certain type of monk. You say Saito, the Burmese one. Those who do the Burmese method one, they will go. Then those who like the Thai one, when the Thai tradition come, Achan Cha, or what they call the Achaman's lineage and all that, they will rush there. Then Tibetan one also same, they attract different one. Then if you are a Christian one, all those devas, then they will go after the Christian. Understand? Then if you are Muslim also same. Then they got other religion. So all the same, they like to run around. Understand? But like human being, some are very serious and they go there, they listen attentively, then they go for retreat, they cultivate. But some, they just go and listen or go and do dana only, then go and rejoice. Then after that, they say, never mind lah. So all this is what you can see in our society. So up there is different, but in a similar way, it is quite similar because they are different type of deva with different type of beliefs, understand? But because they have this type of translucent body with light, then they are very fragrant. That's why they don't like to come near human being. Human being got a type of smell. To them, is you are actually very smelly to the devas. That's why in the Buddha's time, you remember, when the passing away of monks or great beings, you know what they do? They put perfume on the sana. Perfume, flower, everything. That's why they offer this type of jasmine. Otherwise, human beings are very smelly. So all these are the condition behind. So what I try to explain is, don't take chance. Doesn't mean you cannot cultivate up there. If you have that parami, yes. Any rhyme, you also can cultivate. Like Sakyamuni, when he was a bodhisattva, he went through all the 31 plane of existence. Even in the hell rhyme, he cultivated. Even in the animal rhyme, he was the leader of these animals. Sometimes leader of the deer group and all those things. And he still cultivated because of his parami. But don't take that type of chance, understand? Because the next birth, you may not even recall anything. Unless you are bodhisattva, you have already developed the four basic vow. You already wanted this way, you already determined through your vow. Life after life, whenever you arise, you choose to arise or you have to. Because if you choose, means as a bodhisattva, they can actually plan the causes and condition and decide when to come. But you have to come means you don't have a choice. You have not developed this ability yet because you are not really a true bodhisattva. Then you go through karma and rebirth. So karma and rebirth, the next rebirth, you may not even know who you are. Understand? Even though you are born of your karma head, your karma conditions by your karma, you are what you are because of your karma. But then that life, you really don't know. Like, I was told one case by my teacher. He said that life when he was in Sri Lanka, he was a monk. There was an old abbot of that temple. It's a very small temple in a very remote place of Sri Lanka. That time he was a very, very serious cultivator. He was a very good cultivator. And this old monk, Salonis, he knew that this monk is very good, no? And you know what he did or not? He requested direct personal request, no, from that monk. He said, wherever you are, he said, in future, he requests for causes and conditions for him to actually take care of him and guide him, no? But you know what happened or not? Many, many years later, a few hundred years later, this line, my teacher became a lady, a lay person, but he actually teach. And you know what happened to that old monk? He became a New Zealander, a lady by the name of Patsy, completely from a monk become a New Zealander. And when she was born, she went to Western society, Christian family and all those things. Then one day, very funny, according to her, but I met her later on. He saw on the newspaper, New Zealand English newspaper, headline, that there's a very famous monk from Thailand, which was Ajahn Yantra, with the disciple. The moment he saw, he said, there was a very strong like sense of connection. No? Then they say, like very strong. No? And then Nietzsche is like move and tell her, you have to go to the airport to meet this guy, this monk. He also don't know what is going on. Then he got a boyfriend, great. Much younger than her. He said, hey, come join me, I take you somewhere. So they went to the airport. And you know what happened? Immediately when he was there, he has this connection. The faith was so strong. Finally, he ended up talking to them. Then my teacher, Prachan, knew. After a while, because they follow them, then he said, why not you? He invite them to go to Thailand, the temple there, Kanchanaburi. Yeah. They call it near to Mae Hon Son, Sunyataram. Yeah. Sunyataram means Sunyata, you know, is emptiness. Yeah. So it's a way place to develop the understanding of emptiness, Sunyataram. So she went there for 3 months. When she was there, the 3 months almost finished, I went there for the cantina. Then we were offered that kuti, you remember? Last time I told some of you all before, the chief disciple's kuti, you know, up there. He let me and another uncle cool for that stay because he knew who we were. Stay there. And because of that, they become curious. They came and talked to us. Then after that, I have condition to explain certain thing about my the other teacher in Malaysia. And you know what she did or not? She and that creator actually wanted to ask for permission to stay at the kuti I stay, you know, the chief disciple's kuti, because we go back first. Then they can still stay for another week or so before their visa expire. So they say they will join me and visit me in PJ. And they took the train all the way down. I tell you, this is really not a joke. And you know what happened? After all this thing happened, they go and request to the monk, to Prachan. Prachan said, no. This is a chief disciple kuti. No, normal people cannot stay. Even they are on temp precept, he don't allow them to stay. Then after that, they came all the way, you know, visited me. Then I took him to see my the other teacher, the lady teacher. Hey, you know what happened? Immediately, she and Craig went in, pay respect, and she started to cry, you know, non-stop. Then keep on paying respect. Then after that, after everything finished, the 2-3 hour came out. You know what she told me or not? She said, do you know who she is or not? I said, I don't know. She said she saw something. She knows it was a very deep connection. Then this teacher passed a very special personal poem about her past life. Passed to me and told me to keep the original and photostat another copy for her. Give it to her. Then after she went off, I went back inside, talked to my teacher. I said, what happened? How come like that? You know what my teacher told me? He said, do you know who she is or not? She was that monk in Sri Lanka, the airport, that requested. That time she was a monk cultivating there. Requested him that time as a monk there to take him across, take him along wherever there is condition. That's why you say from so far New Zealand also can come. Yeah. And she took refuge. But then your parami may not be so good, no? Understand? Luckily this old monk the abbot asked permission, no. Otherwise you born in New Zealand, how to come, I tell you. How to come back to the Buddha Dhamma? Kwaimui some, I tell you. That's why I say don't take for granted. All this you can see on happening. And like Achalo, you think your parami can be like him. Born in Australia, they call what? Service paradise. that place, what is it? Gokul. No, that's Brisbane. Brisbane. He said the whole family Christian. Only he don't believe in God. He believe in rebirth. The whole family all believe in God, don't believe in rebirth. Oh. Then the moment he was born, he said, he find that culture in Australia is so alien. Oh. That was what he told us at the retreat at Jalo. He said, that's why later on when he graduated as a... he didn't graduate. When he finished high school, he's supposed to join university. Suddenly inside tell him, don't go for the course. Don't report. It's a trap. Then he also don't know what happened. Then he know inside searching for something. Then he checked the internet with some friend. Then he located this retreat. I don't know what type of retreat. I think could be last time Brother Song one, that one, going down. He went for the 10-day retreat. Then he becomes so calm and so peaceful. Then suddenly inside tell him, this is what you have been looking for so long. Then later he told the parent, he want to go Thailand become monk. Just like that. Oh. So if you have the parami, you will connect back. If you don't have the parami, sometimes you may just miss the course. You may not even recognize who you were. Yeah. So all this is the reason why the opening verse is to remind you when the window is there, do not allow it to slip by. Otherwise, it's very, very rare, very difficult to encounter. Not only aeons, though, 500 million aeons, you also cannot find this. So because of that, we really, really need to reflect, contemplate. That's why in the year 1971, when I understand science, geography, my nature, my mind start to search. You know, that time I don't even know what meditation is. I don't even know what the Buddhist teaching is. I saw what my mother did. I refused to read up on Buddhism. Then, very funny, you know, after Form 5, we searched, we went to all the religions. None of them can really explain to me in clear-cut manner what this universe is all about. Who am I? What am I? Then, why am I born into this universe? And why is this universe so immense? So a lot of questions couldn't be answered. So that time when I was in Form 5, my nature inside just tell me one thing, is that you must meditate to understand. At that time, I don't even know what meditation is. I don't even know what the Dhamma is. I was looking for truth, looking for answers. Then I like to look up into the sky, night sky. I saw the star. Each and every star is a potential sun or bigger. Then I realized we are so insignificant. One of the billions of human beings in one of the very insignificant planets of this world system, our star system. And our star is only one of the billions and billions, maybe trillions of stars up there. So who are you? What are you? And human beings still think they are very special. Then all of a sudden, when I was in Form 6, before I went to university, my classmate's sister gave me one book, What Buddhists Believe, the first edition of Kesaridamananda's book. The moment I saw the Four Noble Truths, I said, no need to search. My nature straight away knew, this is it. No need to search. Then I read the book. Then I realized, Chief Reverend explained, what my mother did, the Chinese belief system and trade, nothing to do with the Dhamma. Wow, there was so much joy. But the moment I read the Four Noble Truths, I knew already. I said, whoever who can come out with this, he's the real one. So that's why, ever since that day, I non-stop search and cultivate. Then also because of my past, parami miracle. The moment I entered the university, first day somebody took me to a talk delivered by the author of the book, Kesaridamananda. That's why I straight away end up in Brickfield after that. Then when I went to Brickfield for the first day, I remember, on the motorbike. As I approach the morning chanting, the Pali chanting sounds so familiar to me. I say, how come that one? I say, like this one I heard before. Then after I went in, I felt so good. Then the vibration harmonized. Then straight away, I can just fit in. Then I immediately went to the library. There's a library there. Then I bought quite a number of this Buddhist book. Then when I read through them, I knew all those books got not much meaning, doesn't help at all. Then later on, I just developed my own cultivation. Then when the time come, a lot of things just happen. The teacher come, the guide come, the book come, everything come. Then this nature also just accord and flow. That's why you have this type of parami, then you don't have to worry. Wherever you take birth, any time, any civilization, any place, your nature will connect you back. Your vow will take you along. That's why all these are very important. So if you have stabilized, then you don't worry. You just do what you have to do. But if you have not, you better make full use of this window to determine so that you can stabilize everything through this sasana, and it can be done very easily. Then when you are able to do it, you will rejoice like anything, because all of your future life, not only this life, all of your future coming will be taken care. And that is the most beautiful part of life. You can come and develop this understanding and connect early. Your life become very meaningful, very beautiful. And every life you come, you are like very blessed. Like everything just go your way. Like this life, I tell you, you don't believe. You really don't believe. Can never be so perfect on everything. Even I used to tell my wife, you allow you to plan. The planning also cannot be so perfect. Because sometimes you plan, your plan can go haywire. You may say, like that. This one, no need to plan, but everything become very perfect. So a lot of things you will only come to understand when you go through the cultivation, when you develop the understanding. And this way is very, very rewarding, very wonderful. Like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva say, when you realize true emptiness, then life become beautiful, existence become wonderful. Really. So this is the part that I want you all to understand. So make what they call note of this opening verse and reflect, contemplate, and determine not to allow this window to slip by. Okay, we better continue. We were, I think, halfway through to become Maha Bodhisattva. You had to satisfy how many criteria? Six, is it? Seven. The seven meanings of Mahasattva. First is, he has perfected great roots. Then second, he has great wisdom. And I think third one, we finish. He believes in the great Dhamma. The fourth one is, he understands the great principle. We also finished this one. Then fifth one is, he cultivated the great conduct. So maybe we start from here. We start from here, then we continue on. He cultivated the great conduct. In cultivation, one should not have a little success and feel satisfied, mistaking the transformation city for the ultimate truth. This one is very good. You know what is the transformation city or not? You don't know. This one in the Heart Sutta we went through before. You see, the Mahayana, sometimes you have to understand the way they teach. You remember, they always say the Arahan, Arahan. Their Nibbana is with residue. Remember? They always say that. Huh? Yeah. And that one is not the one realized by the great Mahasattva and Sammasambuddha. And they call this the transformation city because he said it's like that transformation city is like the real city, but it's a transformation one. Means you haven't realized the real one. So this transformation city is like the Arahan of the the Nibbana of the Arahan, understand? The sainthood way they have a glimpse, understand? Then after that, Anagami and Arahanta, like the day Susan's question, I talk about lying down meditation. There is the moment to moment, momentary, one moment of cessation. That one is, they call it like the transformation city, understand? Where you have not gone into the real cessation for a long enough period. Then even the Arahan, because that type of Nibbana is already, you already transcend death and birth and death. You don't have to come back. There is no more rebirth consciousness because you're no more ignorant. The mind already enlightened, awakened. But you cannot pull out that pure mind to come back as Bodhisattva, understand? Can. Anagami and Arahan can enter Nirodha. But you enter Nirodha doesn't mean anything, because Nirodha is a condition for the form and mind, understand? To go through it. And according to the scripture, it can last for 7 days and 7 nights. But for those who understand, it's not how long you are inside there. Because that cessation got no mind on, no consciousness, nothing on. You are in a state which is the unconditioned. You cannot describe about it. It has got no mind on, no consciousness at all. Even the pure awareness all ceases. Nothing at all inside. Actually, you are no different from a dead corpse, except the pure energy inside there. But then, that one will only allow that form and mind that gone through and come out of it to understand clearly what that thing is. But the real perfection, when you go through the Bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha, you will realize that Nibbana, which is very different, when you connect to this nature, because that one still got outflow, understand not? Remember? The outflow of thought. Understand not? The Arahant still got mundane mind, understand not? The mundane mind still arise and pass away. But they understood the characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self very clearly, and they are not deluded by it. That's why Arahant, no more rebirth. Finish. But they cannot come back. Understand not? But because of this outflow, that's why they say with residue. Means you haven't really reached that type of complete cessation where it connects you to your nature and cut off everything. That type of realization where the mundane mind collapse, they haven't realized it. Anasana. That one, you have to go the Bodhisattva way. You have to connect to this nature. Then you have to go through the cultivation for quite a while. Then after that only, you will understand what that type of cessation without outflow. Don't try to understand now. Later on when you go through, you will know. Now even you can have a glimpse to awaken to the sainthood is already very useful, very good. So this part in cultivation, one should not have a little success and feel satisfied, mistaking the transformation city for the ultimate truth. That's why this transformation city is just like telling you, you haven't really penetrated the whole thing. Because like my teacher used to tell me, they ask her, the bodhisattva will take so long, and it's like eons and eons and eons. Then a lot of Theravada monks, they decide to actually withdraw the vow, understand? And they decide this life to become arahant, finish. And that's what they say. A lot of the monks in Theravada tradition, they say finally they determine this life to become arahant. But if they say all this, means they don't understand the bodhisattva way, understand? What is the bodhisattva way? Like Sakyamuni Buddha explained in the chronicle, he said, in order to really have the condition to become bodhisattva, you must have don't know how many criteria. One of them is that life, you already have the ability to become arahant, understand? Then you renounce the arahantship. Yeah. Renounce doesn't mean that you don't go through. You go through, but you take the vow of the bodhisattva, understand? Understand? Means you don't want to cease and finish. You want to continue. That's why you pull out your pure mind. You have to develop the great compassion. The pure mind. Love and compassion. That's why you have to make that vow. You vow to save the limitless living being. Take them across. Then that great compassion to do that is a pure mind. And this mind got no ignorance, got no evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why this one can come back, understand? That's why through the bodhisattva, while through this pure mind, it can come back. And that mind is not a rebirth consciousness. Rebirth consciousness means at the moment of death, at the moment of death consciousness, there is delusion, understand? Avijja. That's why paccaya sankhara. Then the last cessation, sorry, not cessation, the last death consciousness, chuti citta, chuti is like go on leave, then you actually didn't go on leave. Immediately the next rebirth consciousness come about. That's why that one is born or ignorant rebirth consciousness. But bodhisattva, when they come, there is no ignorance involved. That's why they don't go to rebirth one. They come through that vow, understand? Their pure mind take rebirth. There is no avijja. That's why when they come, like Huineng, his Monday mind already collapsed. Even when I was born this life, I remember first 6 years, I got no thought on, nothing inside there. Until later when they took me to this Alostha, there one very notorious town. Then I get all the conditioning. Went into, then this Monday mind develop into what it become. Then later on, as it developed the ability to connect and cultivate, then later on when this Monday mind collapsed, then only I understood what all this thing is. That's why it's very different, very different. So this type of cultivation is very different from the sainthood way. But you don't worry, when the time come, I think a lot of you all have the condition and the parami. That's why this year, Padmasuri requested, 1st of January, I remember, the 1st or 2nd of January this year, we had a special puja, remember? Then we did the, what they call offering, and we talked about the bodhisattva way, because there were conditions for it. Many things happened. So these are the conditions that arise. So this Diamond Sutta also, the way you all request for it. Actually, this sutta, very seldom people request for it. But this is a very, very difficult sutta. Very few people can really, really share and teach. Then the platform sutta is more common, not so difficult. But this one is very, very real. This one, the Diamond Sutta, is the real, very, very, very difficult sutta. Because this sutta, like I say, it consists of how many chapters? 32 chapters. Was it 32? I think it's 32, isn't it? Yeah, 32 chapters. Yeah. So all of these 32 chapters, there is no Dhamma inside there one. No. It's only words that were spoken. No. Subhati and the Buddha, they just dialogue. No. Yeah, not like Heart Sutta, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva expounded the Heart Sutta. Yeah. This one, no Sutta one. He just tell you how to cultivate. You have to cultivate until you have this understanding. No mark. No mark of a self. No mark of any living being to save. No mark of any Dhamma. And then only you really, really develop the higher cultivation. Means to really perfect yourself to become Sama Sambuddha, you must have this understanding. And your cultivation must reach this level. Because the moment your cultivation reach the level of the Diamond Sutta, you progress like anything. You will progress very, very fast, like bullet train. Because when you hit this type of cultivation, like in the Diamond Sutta is explained by the Buddha, the normal thought-based type of cultivation, or even the sainthood way and the normal way, no comparison at all. Even if you use that type of normal cultivation and you make offering of the seven treasure in this universe to don't know how many thousand, 3,000, was it world cycle or what, I forgot already. Even you offer to all the Buddhas of this 3,000 world cycle or what, you can't even compare to a cultivator who has understood four stanza of this Diamond Sutta, cultivate it and teach it. The parami is way, way beyond what these people has done. So even you cultivate for 3,000 aeons and make offering of the seven treasure in this universe to all the Buddhas of this 3,000 aeon or whatever it is, your merits and blessing cannot compare to one cultivator who understood the four stanza within the Diamond Sutta, then teach it. That cultivator's parami is way beyond, far exit. That's why this Diamond Sutta is very, very unique, very different. Okay, we will go on. People of the two vehicles obtain some small advantage and are contented. Their satisfaction with certification to the first and second, third and fourth fruit of Arahantship prevent them from turning from the small to the great. See? That's why the first four stage of sainthood, first stage of sainthood, second, third and fourth, which is the Arahantship, prevents them from turning from the small to the great. What is small? Small vehicle, they call it Hinayana. They don't like. Now they call Theravada, the vehicle of the elders, Thera. Some come halfway and think they have reached the goal. There is the case of an ignorant bhikkhu who obtained the state of fourth jhana. Fourth dhyan is fourth jhana, and thought he has certified to the fourth fruit of Arahantship, saying, "I have already arrived at my goal." He was actually only halfway there. So this one is a very common mistake, because a lot of people mistaken the fourth jhana for Arahantship. You know why or not? What is the characteristic of the fourth jhana? Upeka. Upeka. Ekagata is one point. The characteristic of the fourth jhana is upeka. Anasana. Upeka means the mind is like, it is like, you cannot disturb the mind on anasana, because it is in the state of deep apana samadhi. It's like chitta vivika, stay within, nothing can disturb you on. Lightning strike or whatever, whatever thing you do to him, when that being is in the fourth jhana, he a lot of metta on. And he cannot get angry on. He cannot be unhappy. He's so calm, so peaceful. Because last time I went through that, I went through the continuous mindfulness on exhaustion. Then it's like you already understood the Dhamma. Your mind state is so still, so it's still until cannot move one. I used to give you all the analogy of like a steel bar of energy. You know what is a steel bar? Very, very steel inside there. Although the spelling of steel is S-T-E-E-L. But this one is because you look at the steel, it's like very solid inside there. Like no vibration, no movement at all. Very steel, like a steel bar of energy here. Very steel, locked inside there. I still remember. Then lightning strike, can't even disturb the exterior partner. Like liang, no effect at all. Normal people would have panic, understand? Like lightning strike, you caught unaware, you straight away got fear, and the fear is always from the heart. But that time I remember, I didn't even develop the daily mindfulness yet. But because I was in this state, the lightning strike or whatever can't even go near, Then that time you thought, wow, this is it, man. Nothing can disturb it anymore. But actually, this is apana samadhi. Continuous absorption. The energy is so still inside that. That's why it's like you are enlightened. But that is the false one. So like here described, it's only halfway, is it? Actually not even halfway. You understand? Because they had to release that out into daily mindfulness to insight the phenomena. Then we read on. Common men go halfway and then turn back without even reaching the fourth dhyan heaven. They began to retreat. It is too far, too hard for the likes of us, they said. Some are waylaid in the transformation city. This one is the arahan. So after the transformation city, they say enough, finish. Like the one described in the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Blossom Sutta. Why was such a city conjured up? Followers of the two vehicles cultivated a day or so seeking the Bodhisattva way without attaining it. Then they cultivated another day and still did not become Bodhisattva. The following day, although they reached the Bodhisattva way, they did not reach its end, and they decide the process is just too long, like what you heard from the Theravada one. These days represent years, decades, eons of time, because it's so long. The longer the cultivators sought to obtain their goal, the more bitter their suffering became, the more weary they grew, and less they will be able to proceed. I cannot go on. It is just too far. I didn't know it was such a long haul. I am really tired, they cried. Seeing their plight, the Buddha conjured up a transformation city and called to them, look, there is a city ahead where we can rest a few days. Our goal is but a short distance beyond the city. When you enter the city, the people of the two vehicles becomes infatuated with the abundance of gold, silver, and precious gem, and decided to settle there. This place is the real treasure house, they thought. In cultivation, one must be patient with suffering and fatigue. That's why the second basic vow of the Bodhisattva is what? To endure all suffering and vexation. You cannot do that. You cannot walk this way. Then the third one is very important. You have to penetrate all Dhamma. Cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma. Otherwise, you cannot teach, I tell you. No way. You don't even understand yourself. How can you understand others? And everyone is so different. No? That's why you really want to teach. You really have to penetrate all Dhammas. that in cultivation one must be patient with suffering and fatigue. Practice the great conduct. Ah, see, that's why this is one of the quality of a great bodhisattva. The great conduct means you really must have this type of patience to endure. One must be patient, yielding, and generous. That's why accord and flow. Then you must have the heart of abundance, a very generous heart. Never complain. Just do your work, anasana. Vow to liberate and take across all living beings. Never doubt and never look back. Never allow the thought to project. Wow, so long. Cannot lah. Who say that? The thought. That's why when you believe the thought, you become miserable. One must practice or cultivate the six perfections. The first of which is giving. Giving is dana paramiya, for the benefit of others, and not seeking only to help oneself. So this one is to break the selfishness. I have seen members of the Sangha begging. Someone say their cultivation of the way is solely involved with asking for money, not with giving it. But when bhikkhu gives money, they do not advertise it. I have known Dhamma master who was so truly committed to helping people that if asked, they would offer their flesh to eat and drink, and blood to drink. For the sake of others, they would willingly offer their own flesh and bones to earth, to heaven and earth. It is just that they have not known a person who has truly resolved his mind on bodhi and who cultivates great conduct. Or perhaps you have but didn't recognize him. For such a one cannot say to you, I am one who cultivates great conduct. Since he cannot tell you, you have no way to know that he is one who can endure the wind, the rain, the cold, the heat, the hunger and thirst. Bearing with people cannot bear yielding what people cannot yield. Oh, sorry, I read again. Bearing with people. Oh, sorry. Bearing what people cannot bear. Yeah. No wonder the sentence doesn't look right. Yeah. Thanks, Yun Chan. Bearing what people cannot bear. Okay, now correct one. Yielding what people cannot yield. Eating what people cannot eat. Wow. And enduring what people cannot endure. Wow. This one really true bodhisattva. On the other hand, those who imitate the style of a seasoned cultivator in order to impress people are useless. Anasana. You remember last time what did I tell you? Yeah. A lot of people have this idea. I'm a cultivator, no. I enlightened already, no. I must not have craving, no. So to show people that you enlightened, you think enlightened being cannot have craving. So good food don't want to eat, no, that is craving. Is it? They act like that. Is it? So if you understand, craving is not about good food cannot eat. No. So got condition to eat, eat. No condition to eat also peaceful. The Buddha also eat all the whatever offering that the king offered and the wealthy Brahmin offered to him. He never say, oh, all this is craving. I must not have good food. I must have simple food. Then you are a true cultivator. No, when you cultivate, when you are enduring, you must not be choosy. Understand? But at that time, nobody know you. Understand? So if you are lucky, you got the parami, people offer you. Understand? But when you become very famous, I tell you, all the dana, very good food all come. So the king also invite you, all the wealthy and famous one, they will invite you. So when all these conditions fall into place, the Buddha actually understood and he know how to act. That's why he never say you cannot have good food. But when you are under training, yes, you cannot sleep on high bed and all those things, because it will make you one. Huh? It will make you one. Lazy, understand? Huh? Because when you have this comfort with you, you think people want to cultivate. Understand? Huh? When you are so comfortable, that's why a lot of the Mahayana teachers used to make fun of the devotees. The rate at which Malaysian devotees treat them, they prefer to stay here rather than go realize Nibbana. We are here, it's so comfortable, so good. And all the devotees really serve them so well. Oh, and Malaysians are famous for their hospitality and generosity. That's why a lot of monks like to come to Malaysia. Oh. We are Malaysian, it's like that. Then there is another story that I want to share with you. Yesterday I heard from a friend. I don't know whether this story is true or not. It's about karma, law of karma. Maybe you all tell me whether it's true or not. This person who shared with us is a doctor. He told me in the Chinese literature, or I don't know whether it's in one of the teaching of the Chinese culture or what, I don't know. He said, there is this law of karma, and they believe whatever that is meant for you is already more or less not really predestined. It's like layer chai layer, you understand? Not? Yours means yours, not yours means not yours. Because the condition like that means like that one. Not yours means not yours. That's why karma is like that, is it? If you have the karmic inheritance, you will receive. If you don't have, not meant for you, no matter how, you will not receive. So they say this earthbound deva, our Chinese home, they say all God in Tei Chu Gong. They say got the male and the female one. Toti Gong. Tuti Gong. Earthbound deva. Tuti Gong, is it got Apo and Akong. So the two. No. Mzimzibe. Helesi. Correct, but we also have our Tuti Gong at the back there. The house. My mother used to tell me. They are the one once a year, the Chinese believe, go up the... No. It's Tuti Gong, they call it. But they say once a year, they go up and report. And that's why you give them tea kui, sweeten their mouth. You go and believe all this. So there was this story, he said. The two of them discussed, they say. The female one, Tuti Paul. Let's say we say the Tuti Paul. He said, you don't believe, is it? Now we go and test it. So the Tuti Gong say, no. If you really give them condition, they will receive one. Means he believe can help them one. Understand? The Tuti Paul, more wise, he said, no. Cannot help one. Not meant for them is not meant for them one. So the Tuti Gong don't believe. He said, okay, I show it to you, you sure believe one. See that two guy coming, is it? From a certain distance. Yeah, the Tuti Paul, I think, got psychic one. She got Dhamma, got psychic. She can see, is it? These two, see. She come out with a piece of gold. Okay. I will purposely put the piece of gold at the end of the bridge. So that they walk by, they will see the gold. Means I want to help them. I want to give them the gold. But not for them means not for them. So they agree to the experiment they put there. And you know what happened? These two guys, when they reach the bridge, they try to be exy. I close my eye so I can cross this bridge. Then the second fellow say, you think only you can? I also can. So both of them close their eye and cross the bridge. Never see the goal. Then after that, the Tuti Paul said, now you believe, I show you another one. Sometime, that person if his goal is his goal, you don't want to help him, don't want to put on the road there for him to see, he will still get it. So he took this piece of gold and threw it into the bushel. Then this wealthy people, person with a lot of paramiyana, he got people who carry him on. Passed by the area. No? When he nearby there, he asked them to stop. For no reason, he asked them to stop. He said, I want to answer nature's call. You all wait here. He walked there. As he answered nature's call, he saw something glittering. No? Like that also, he had a goal. Then the Tutikong agreed. Oh yeah, meant to be means meant to be. Not meant to be means not meant to be. That's why you must have parami. Understand? The moral of the story is you must have parami. If you have parami, people don't want to help you also you will receive. Understand? If you don't have parami, people want to help you also you cannot receive. Understand? So Dhamma is like that. So you have to be very, very heedful. And develop this understanding. But when you have the parami, the generosity parami, money will come to you. How it come, you don't have to know. But if it's not yours, you don't have that parami, you will not get it. You will lose all those things because of your negative karma. Last time you cheat, you swindle, you do all those funny things. You bring about downfall. Then now, you become victim. Your money all gone in the same way. Then sometimes you get it through what they call immoral means, like you rob, you cheat, you plunder, you steal. Your wealth will be taken away by nature's disaster, understand? Or people will rob you back. So all this is part of nature's law. So you have to understand. So this story, luckily I got enough time to share. What's the time now? Oh, 10:30 already, so fast. Okay, we better end here. Where were we? We were at page 48. Okay, page 48. Okay, on the other hand, those who imitate the style of a seasoned cultivator. Okay, this one maybe I re-finish this one. In order to impress people are useless. Look at me, he said, I can eat what others cannot eat. That is false giving. Playing the great, how to pronounce this word? Matter, and relinquishing house and home, family and wealth for the sake of appearance is false giving. No matter how good the property or how fine the wife. If one's self-sacrifice is done as a public display, the giving is not true. This one is just to tell you you are not sincere. All your giving got no meaning. If it is not done for the sake of appearance, then the giving is cultivating the great conduct. Okay, we stop here. So the next one is the sixth. He passed through great kapas. Then he seek the great fruits. So this last two is easier to understand. Okay. That's it. We at least should finish by next Tuesday. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then now we can do the sharing of merits and transfer of merits. Okay. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumatha. Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sappati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu Sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu Sukhita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will do the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. There's one more thing that I forgot. I need to share with you. Those who want to develop good mind state, happy mind state, every morning when you wake up, you determine to smile to everything, can or not, and be happy throughout the day. Yeah? You know what is to smile to everything? When you wake up, you smile to yourself, radiate love and metta, then go to the toilet, look into the mirror, smile. Then, throughout the day, as you do your whatever thing, come down, maybe make your coffee, smile. Smile to everything, whatever you see. Smile, radiate love and joy. Then, be happy. Cannot. This mind state will make you, LC sure can, she has been doing it. Because she did the metta very well, the mind sweeping metta. I teach her that one. Actually, that one you all should practice and do it until it's part of you. Your mind state becomes very beautiful. So when you have this joy, this love. But as you go out of your house, you will see a very big change, particular change. People will like you. People can sense your happiness. They will respond back to you. Sometimes that most of them I saw on the street. All got problem. Worry inside one. Never smile, hardly smile. Until I smile, then only they smile. Most of human beings, I tell you can go and observe. When you have mindfulness, you will see. They either thinking, worrying about things or what. They seldom have any joy in their mind state. That's why you can smile and be happy. That is a very good mind state. And as you cultivate, this become very natural. Very natural. I used to take a walk in the park. I have this joy. I radiate this love and metta. Everything I come to see, I see with the eye of love and joy. Then whatever word you speak with understanding, love and joy. Then you will overcome negative mind state, fear, unhappiness. All this will go. That's why you must have more and more and more of this happiness and joy. Starting with smile. Determine to have a radiant smile. Smile into everything you do. Smile into everything you come to meet with. You just smile and have joy. Then be happy. Then have contentment. Have gratitude. But don't do it until it becomes like this is Satyam Long, this one. Whole day also smiling. You must do it like it become very natural on the sala. Then you can understand on that sometimes you may not be showing it your facial expression, but your heart already read it out. Then when they can feel, my nature know on obvious there is a response. Last time when I was testing this metta, I told you all before, I can read it. The animal can feel on. Because there's a metta energy coming out from the heart one. Very soothing. And the animal, they can feel one. Then I tested it on a human being. At first I read it to the one coming in front one. Then they really smile. They turn, they smile. And they also don't know what happened. Then I just smile. Then there was one, I purposely wait till she passed by. After she passed by, about 2 meters behind me, I read it. You know what happened? She turned around and look at me. I smile. She don't understand why. She just smiled. She just couldn't understand why. That's why that type of metta. Not only don't want to, they're too busy thinking, worrying. they got a lot of things inside their head. And you seldom see them happier. Seldom. Their face is always very serious. Like got problem inside them. That's why when you meditate, must have this radiant smile. And so you must check your facial expression. And so when you are very like not happy, means you have stress on your face. But you cannot feel it because you are not sensitive. So that's why when you meditate, you must relax and have this radiant smile and feel the relaxed state of your body. That's why I always say, visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. So when you can do that, your face actually has that radiant smile on that. It relaxes by itself. Understand? Depend on, because there are 3 stages, understand? If you parroting, it cannot smile, understand? May you be well and happy. No feeling, understand? So there are 3 stages. One is parroting. The other one is you try to wheel it out from your heart, understand? That's why you wheel it out. The third one is you really read it one. Read it means what? You must have metta, only you can read it, understand? Means you must have metta inside, then only you read it. Then there's this type of energy come out. It's not from the thought one. The thought one is wheel out one. You visualize that and then you wheel to them. May my loved ones be well and happy. That wheel one is already very good, understand? Because metta is initially thought based. Then later on when you have metta, it can be radiated out. No more thought, no more wheel. You just from here, the heart here, it just come out by itself. I remember when I was in Australia, I did it. That's why I told you that dog, the very big size, the owner was so panicked. She just, with joy, he can feel from 200-300 feet away, I think 100 meters away. That I think is Alsatian, it's very big one, very big. I don't know what type of dog, it's a very big dog. He just charged off from the owner's hand. The owner was so panicked. The owner is an Australian. He ran to me. Then I saw the fur. I can see from far. The fur all come out. I was so mindful. Then the metta was so strong. Then I knew. I saw the tail wag. The moment the tail come out like that, you know, this is a good dog. Then when it come, the owner panic. Chase after the dog. He came to the dog. Who are you? He said, I thought my dog was attacking you. I said, no, good dog. The dog still whack the tail and the fur was still, he can feel the metta. Then after that, he asked the dog to go. The dog refused to go. The dog stayed there, still full of joy, inside there. You can see the fur, everything. Then I say, good dog. I say, your owner want you to go. Go. Then only he go. That was the real test. That was 1989. When I was in Melbourne. But before that, when I was here, this metta can come out already. That's why metta, you do it well, It is very powerful, very, very powerful. Yeah. Okay, that is the last part I want to share with you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we can end. Sorry, taken extra 12 minutes.